Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose, as your topic, fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
Welcome to another great show, Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Get your butt out of bed. It's time to talk fishing. Got Captain Travis Yeagle in the house.
We're here, Yeagle. Baby.
Yeagle.
Yeagle. Sometimes I can't even say it, man.
Yeagle. But somebody, and then myself, Captain Jason Prieto, we're in the studios. Your last name is like mine. People say it wrong so much that you start saying it wrong.
I don't even know how to say it sometimes.
They say my name, they go, you say it right, I say, you're good, man.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Yeah, whatever, man. I don't care.
That's it.
I don't care.
I was a guy, it's like in high school and everything, or, you know, when you're going through school, and, you know, you get your name called out
the teacher the first day, and yeah, they always mess it up.
I got them on the last days, you know, it didn't matter which day. It always got hacked, but... So when you get a weird last name, you kind of get used to everybody throwing it off.
You just don't care. Like, yeah. Whatever. Just call me what you want. It doesn't matter. Just don't call me anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, guys, it's a good Sunday, and we're dealing with a cold front in May. Go figure.
Here it comes, baby.
That is insane. We've had some great fishing, though. Good tides this week. Travis, you've been on some big reds. I've been on some big reds. We've got plenty of snook. And Neil, where is Neil? Neil's finishing up with the Cap Mel Classic.
Yeah, he's getting ready, man.
I talked to him this week, and of course, we pre-record the show. So I told Neil, look, me and Travis got the show this week, man. I know you're trying to wrap all that stuff up. That is a great tournament, and people don't realize the amount of work he puts into that. And I really don't think he gets anything out of it. I think just the joy of doing it.
A couple strike three fishing team members, maybe.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's a great tournament, and he's always worked to death on it, though, when it gets close like this. So I said, hey, man, take the week off. But we should have the results in there, and we'll recap the tournament and see what was called
coming up, too. So, yeah, if you haven't, check out CapMel.com. I don't know what the actual link is to get to it, but I'm pretty sure right there on the homepage it'll have a big... blame for leak to get to any of the information.
So. Yeah, well, they'll have the results on there. So it was actually Saturday's tournament. So can't sign up anymore, Travis.
Well, thanks for
that. Hey, man. You know what?
I'm trying, bro.
You'll have the you'll see the results though. But it's been a great week of fishing, Travis. We've seen a cold front in the beginning of May, which has happened before. It's a little odd. We're starting to see some tarpon show up. Red fishing has been good. I wouldn't call it great, but good. And snook fishing has continued to be strong. We're catching some mango snapper earlier this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've caught some big snapper. You've got some decent snapper on. You've got yours on the flats.
I got mine fishing red fishing snook, man.
Yeah.
We had some nice little mango snappers, man. And then I know I've seen quite a few... up by some of the spoil islands. I don't know if you saw those up in the rock, but there's quite a few up there in the rock. So
yeah,
it shouldn't be long until they're out on some of the local reefs and getting up on. I know a lot of guys like fishing on the Skyway Bridge for snapper.
Yeah.
Time, so.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of good fishing and a lot of people in the water. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. It's a ton of people. Most I've seen on the South Shore. Good for fishing. It's aggravating for us as guides because we're working and I recently got pulled for being in the zone, Manatee Zone, which I've got a permit, not say it's right or wrong. And we're going to recap on that a little bit. Got pulled by the FWC, let everybody give somebody some warnings. I know everybody on the South Shore likes to run the zone or doesn't like to. They do it though because it's almost a necessity the way they have the signs set up. To a certain extent, I don't encourage it because you're going to get a ticket, but, you know, we'll cover into that a little bit on the manatee zones. I think the manatee zones need to be in place. I think they need to reevaluate how they have it because the way they have it is just ridiculous. It's not feasible. It's not a law that's abidable, and it just doesn't make sense. And I told the officer that. And
it's a long shot, like a really long shot, but, you know, I've often kind of thought about, not necessarily a channel, but some kind of marked waterway through there.
Already been there, done that.
You know, at least, I know it's been talked about, but it's like, to me, you throw around, you bounce around ideas about stuff like that, and one of the things would be like, you know, I think that would be a neat way to do it is to either have a channel that cuts through or some marked waterway that you know that, you know, that's where people are going to run through.
And
that way the fish will actually pattern off of that as well is where I'm going with it. Because not now it's just kind of like a beehive. You don't know where somebody's going to be blowing through an island. You don't know where somebody's going to be running the shoreline or whatever. So
yeah, and some of that comes down to etiquette. You know, I don't really see a point in running through the backcountry too much.
I agree.
I think running out front is the right way to do it. I mean, we do swing in there at times, but that has been proposed. Danny has sat on the board 4 years ago with the manatee groups, and trust me, I'm not a manatee hater, but I will tell you that manatee group has got plans way beyond protecting the manatees.
Right.
And their plans are to win the battle and have as many people backing them and money and all that. And it's just, you know, it's just not right. It's not about winning the battle. It's about making the, what we have available to everybody. Manatees live here. By the way, they're not from here.
Right.
And that doesn't matter, but we need to protect the manatees. We also need to make things fair for the people that are out there fishing. They need to make the people fair out there for boaters. We need to make it fair for kayakers, for paddleboarders, for dolphins, for fish. It needs to be fair. And the way the zones are set up is not fair. And that is the exact reason why they've issued some kind of permit, because that's the only rebuttal. Okay, let me ask you this out there. Can you imagine being a commercial crabber where every one of your pots are in the manatee zone and you got to idle around to pick up 150, 200 pots?
Yeah. No, think about that. I couldn't.
That's like you idling to work every day. You can't do
it. And through work.
Yeah, you can't do it. And that's the problem. And that's why they've come up with the permits. I do agree that the permits get abused by some people. But it's no different than, you know, a cop running through a red light just because he wants to. I mean, they get special permission to do things because of their job. But, you know, unfortunately, you got a bad apple that does stuff they shouldn't do or whatever. So, in result, somebody needs to ruffle some feathers and reevaluate the manatee zones and really come to some type of happy medium. And putting the signs a mile and a half offshore is not the answer.
Well, and I think, too, what adds to that, I think coupled with that is some of the seagrass protection areas. And I think that's coupled with some of that manatee zone support, is I think those guys get involved, too. Because I think part of that problem is for...
Well, that makes no sense, though. The manatees eat the seagrass.
Well, that's my point, though. I mean, like, back in the day, you had Sea Bug, Cockroach Bay Restoration or something group or whatever, and I've actually got some family that was involved in that, and I know a lot of that seagrass was planted along the South Shore area, and I can tell you that when I was a kid, a young kid, I remember there was parts of Cockroach Bay and down the bar on the inside down to Port Manatee that was struggling with the seagrass, and I know there was a lot of effort put in. There was actually a guy named Jimmy Anderson that invented a seagrass planting device or something, and an uncle of mine back in the day, it was like a big wheel or something, and it would grab like a plug of this seagrass and plug it in the ground and could keep going and rotating. And I know they did a lot of work doing some of that stuff. So not as a testament to say that the manatee zones are right or wrong, but I think there is some other interest coupled in with the quote-unquote manatee zone in terms of protecting some of the seagrass areas. And so,
well, the signs are set at 6 foot, though.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be on the 3 foot bar.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
There's a sandbar that runs parallel all the way down.
Yep.
From the start at Simmons Park all the way down to Joe's Island.
I agree.
I mean, you got a curve around the island, but there's a bar.
I agree.
They need to be on.
And I'll tell you where I probably see some differences in it. Is I fish South Florida quite a bit down in Boca Grande, down in Port. I shouldn't say Boca Grande, but Port Charlotte area, and even on the what they call the east side, which is Punta Gorda down to Burnt Store. And they're having some issues right now in the reverse of what we're having. That is all wide open down there. They have a bar. If you've ever been on the east side of Charlotte Harbor, it looks exactly like, or I shouldn't say exactly, but it's very similar to Cockroach Bay to, say, Port Manatee, where you got an outer bar, heavy inner grass flats all the way up to the mangrove islands, and then you've got pockets and troughs and little channels that run back up in the islands. And they're actually, it's a fight down there to say they're trying to get in an idle zone because they've got too many people running the bar, running the inside, and they think that it's affecting their red fishing and snook fishing down there. So,
well, it is.
It's obviously a compromise on both ends of the spectrum.
They need to have design places for people to run in.
I agree. That's kind of where I'm going with it, is I'm like, you know, it becomes to a point where me personally, I'm all for conservation, restoration, you know, for years to come, but it becomes an access point. And it goes, okay, well, if I want to fish this area, at what point and how close and how fast does it need to be accessible to me to fish, me to crab, me enjoy, snorkel, whatever you're going to do on the flat or whatever that area is, you know? And so that's where I think, you know, we talk about accessibility, and that's what our manatee zone kind of is very limited on. If you don't have a – we're fortunate to have a permit because we work in these areas, and we've been adopted under a certain program that allows us to you know, enter areas on a plane. And so we have that ability, but other guys, it takes a long time to get back there if you do it, you know, on a legal platform. So you're right. It does something that needs to be looked at and, you know, changed or modified here pretty soon, and we're going to see some issues with it.
Well, guys, we're going to take a little break. We get back, we'll be talking more fishing. We'll be talking more about the manatees.
The
lovely manatees. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We're going to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about winning. Never had a plan, just living for the minute. Yeah, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how.
O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface corks with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Frieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
The Tides and Weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And welcome back to the Tides and Weather segment. This is Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. Myself, Captain Jason Prieto, is in the studio. And
right here, Captain Travis with you, baby.
There you go. Yakel.
See that?
Yakel.
Captain Travis, Yakel.
Yakel. I like Yakel.
Yakel.
It's like you're somewhere in between Yakel and...
It's a tough one, man.
It is.
It is a tough one.
It is what it is. Hey, we got the tides and weather. You got that, Travis? What are you hoeing about? That's your job here. Come on.
Second, man.
I bring us in. You do all the hard work. That's how this works.
Golly.
But we should have some good tides. We had a new moon, the 6th, on Friday. So we're going to be going into quarter moon, but usually we got some pretty good tides going right after the moon, and then going into next week, we're going to have some tides that are not so great.
It's see what we got coming up here.
But the weather, well, we've got some windy conditions. I think our weather is going to start dying off. This cold front has cost me and you some money. And it's just been it's been windy. It's been windy. Thursday was windy. Wednesday, I could actually sleep in, and I got woke up at 6:30 in the morning. I thought there possibly might be a hurricane or I thought there might be a
tornado
at my house.
It was honking, man.
It woke me up, and then my wife's like, "Man, it's blowing." I was like, "Yeah." And so I had to go out and actually drove my daughter to school because she couldn't get across the street to go with a neighbor. And it's crazy. It was crazy with the weather. You know, cold front the first week of May. It's just insane.
It is kind
of
nuts. I'm hoping. I'm the optimistic guy, though. So I'm like, man, it's been so hot. You know, I was like, maybe it'll fire him up.
Oh, this is the thing about 50. You know, we're getting 50 degree temperatures this week.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, man, I mean, depending on how the actual storm front actually affects the fish, but, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that temperature, you know, backcountry drop 5-6 degrees.
It's getting up there fast.
You know, I mean, it's creeping up. I mean, especially when you're fishing on some of these slower tide days and you're fishing in a backcountry area, even if it's got plenty of water, that water is just sitting there. And under a clear sky, high sun, that water is just constantly cooking and cooking and cooking. And, you know, we've had some issues here and there, losing some bait, staying in the backcountry a little bit too long or loading the well a little bit too much. And so we're definitely seeing that water temperature rise. And,
well, I think we've got some pretty the wind conditions are looking good for this next week. I think we get back to our everyday patterns.
Yeah.
As far as the
tides go, we're coming up on that new moon. We got an early week new moon. We're going to see some higher water. We're getting up into some 2.3, 2.4 high tides late in the afternoon. You know, just past lunchtime or so, you're going to see really strong incoming tides and bringing a foot and a half of water in the afternoon. So that's something to remember and keep in mind. You're going to have some lower water in the mornings. But I don't know about you, Jay, but just kind of, I know we're not on tip of the week, but for me, that incoming tide has been a little bit better. It seems like the fish have been responding pretty good to a strong incoming tide in some of these areas that we're fishing, some of these flush areas and some of these deeper troughs back in the backcountry. So I look forward to some good afternoon evening fishing this week, and hopefully the storms and the weather permit. I know normally as we get into the summer months, we start to see late afternoon thunderstorms and storm heads roll in, and so keeping our fingers crossed that we can get trips in next week and catch some fish, man.
Yeah, speaking of trips, guys, if you'd like to get out on the water with myself, Captain Travis, or do a kayak charter with Neil, give us a call on our Premier Guides number, and that's 813-373-2610, and that number will get you to me, and we will get you to one of us, and hopefully get you out on the water for a great trip. Again, that number is 813-373-2610. Also, don't forget to check out our official website of the radio show, capmel.com. This is the official radio show website. It's got a great forum, a great source of information. Whether you're looking for a guided trip anywhere in Florida or just looking to get some good conversation and share your fishing stories, it's a great site. It's been around for years. Back when forums were still big, but before the Facebook and all that, it was the forum to go to for information, and there's a lot of good people still on there. Neil does a great job hosting it and moderating the whole site, and has just recently revamped the site. So it's a good site. Check it out, CaptainMel.com. Guys, if you missed our show, we do podcasts every week on the show. They're usually a week behind. So starting, as of now, we have Jeff Page was our guest last week. Captain Jeff Page and Travis and myself were in the studios. And that show will be uploaded. You can find it on the Pontomatic app on your phone, or you can go to facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Like our page, and we'll have a link to the show up there. There's a bunch of different ways to find us. The podcast works great because you can listen anytime, anywhere. You got signal or internet with your phone, truck, laptop. So that stuff works good. Travis, we're getting into tarpon season.
Yep.
And
real quick, though, Jay, I wanted to throw something in real quick, and just while it's on the top of my head, is, you know, we've been getting our bait a little bit offshore, not offshore, but we've still been getting bait on the channel markers and some of the stuff off in the middle of the bay. And it's happened to me 2 or 3 times now where I've come up to a marker and I've seen a guy throwing a net and not quite getting, you know, the bait that they're looking for. And, you know, I pull up and normally we do pretty well. Now we're throwing a little bit bigger net, a little bit heavier net, and I've got a number of people that are asking me about the net that we're using. And so I just want to throw a little plug in there. Tampa Fishing Outfitters, you can go pick up a humpback cast net. I've been using them. Captain Jason's been using them, and we're really kind of standing behind the product. I mean, I've had great results with it. It's a great tangle-free net. Opens easy. Seems to be pretty tough. They are heavy. Seems to be
which
pretty
is
tough.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. Seems to be pretty tough. I mean, some of the shell bottom and rock bottom, and I know Captain Jason over here actually hung his on a pole the other day.
Yeah, but mine's a minor hole.
So
let's tell everybody what you hung yours on.
So with
Mr.
that,
nice guy.
So as we keep on going, I just want to say that for everybody out there that I haven't talked to, you know, the humpback net is something that it's been a good product for us. We've been using it every day on the water, and something we stand behind here. So if you haven't checked them out, head on over to Tampa Fishing Outfitters. They've got a full selection of them. The humpback net, I would recommend at least a 10-footer. They have a 10-foot light, and they have a 10-foot heavy. I would recommend a 3/8.
They have an
net.
11, too, right?
They have an 11. They have a tweener. If you're that guy, Now I'm throwing a 12-foot. I'm throwing the big dog. I'm throwing the heaviest, biggest one they got. And I'm a pretty short guy. I'm 5'6" and a half.
Yeah, but you throw a net really well.
And it's all about technique, you know, but.
But it, I tell you, throwing a net, though, you throw it very well, and I do have an advantage over you because the height is an issue, especially in my boat, because you got to clear the gunnels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the boat,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't believe that the style way you throw it. Like, if you did the net the way I did it,
right.
Your height,
I wouldn't be able to
do it.
It'd
be an issue. Because,
oh, yeah, and I spend a lot of, you know, like all of us, you know, you grow up throwing the little guy, and you work your way up, you know, and I was fortunate enough to move to a bigger net before I really needed to, and I think that helped me because I struggled a little bit back in the day as a teen, you know, starting to get bait and starting to do everything, and I learned a way to throw a big net down in the Keys. And after that, I kind of took that and I kind of molded it into my own little style. I mean, it's a very common way, like a triple load, but it allowed me as a smaller framed guy to throw a bigger net. And so with that, I knew you have to throw a big net. If you're going to be throwing offshore or on markers or in water, I'd say any deeper than 6 to 8 feet, you're going to have to throw a bigger net. And it applies to the drop, the sink rate, how big your net is actually when the bait is on the bottom. I mean, I throw a 12-foot net and can open it up, you know, pretty much about max. And I know that when the net hits the bottom, I'm still, if you open it 12 or 24 or 20 across, you're probably only 18 to 16 when you hit the bottom of the, you know, the bottom of the bay. So the key is getting a big net, open it all the way to get the most diameter when you're on the bottom, which is where the bait's at. So, and that's something that, you know, we've got a fishing school coming up, guys. We don't have the dates locked in yet, but that's something that I think is going to be a good thing to cover. And we already talked about, you know, doing some cast net seminars. And so,
speaking of which, somebody called G on a cast netting seminar. I thought you text me. No clue. So yeah,
I'm not sure, but that is coming,
they
guys.
They called the station for.
Yeah, are you doing cast net seminars that we don't know about?
Yeah, we're gonna use him
so
as like the bait.
If you guys are looking to throw cast net, call in here, ask for G.
No, don't do that.
On Saturday mornings. No, I'm just kidding, guys. But in all seriousness, though, we are gonna be throwing another fishing school together down at Tampa Fishing Outfitters. Dates are still in the works.
Pending,
and
like
that's something that we'll definitely include in that school. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. And
come watch Travis throw a net. You'd be like the clown that everyone's paid dollars to see.
Yeah, it's cool.
By
man.
The end of the school, you won't be able to stand up because you've done a net so much.
Yeah, no, for sure. But anyway, guys, so I just wanted to kind of throw that in there. We're in kind of bait season. We're moving into summer. A lot of guys are going to be trying to catch thread fins and getting bait on the flats, and so. If you haven't got your net yet, head down, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, try a humpback. I promise you won't be disappointed, and you'll have plenty of bait, and you'll have a net that lasts, guys. I mean, a lot of guys spend a lot of money on nets, and they just don't last, and I've had mine. I've been running these nets ever since they really came out. They introduced them, I think it was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, they hit a home run on this net.
And it's really been a good product, so check that out if you're in the market for a new net, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And we have about 2 minutes here before we go to break. Don't forget, again, like I was mentioning earlier, if you guys like to get on a chart with us, you know, you hear us talk on the air. If you're somebody out there, I get these people all the time on the boat, and they want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear about these people at seminars. They bring their notepads, and you're doing all the right stuff. Go to seminars. You read the magazines. You know, you do all the stuff. But I can tell you that I know charters can be expensive for people, budgets. if you can get on the water with either me or Travis or any reputable guy that knows what they're doing,
right?
Of course, we prefer it be us. But even Neil. Neil's a great teacher.
Absolutely.
On the kayak. He's a great teacher. He's very knowledgeable. He has a niche business that's just totally different from what we do. But
mm-hmm.
any of us, if you'd like to get out, you will learn more on that charter. And that 1 6-hour charter or 4-hour charter, whatever you can do, then within hours upon days,
you're
out there trying by yourself. Because I can tell you, I didn't do a charter when I was younger. And what I can teach people in 6 hours, it took me months to figure out.
Sure.
If not years.
Sure.
Just the little tricks, the tips and tricks that I've learned over the years. Some of the stuff I teach people, I spent like a year trying to figure it out. Because I didn't have anybody teach me. You just learn it by trial and error. Maybe you ran across somebody
right. That,
you know, you were kind of like halfway there and he gave you a little tip. Oh, that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So I do recommend if you can afford it and you can put it in your budget and you want to learn how to fish, get out with a reputable guide, whether it's one of us or anybody. The other, do some fishing. And tell the guide when you book the trip, I want to catch fish, but I want to learn. Because
mm-hmm.
I tell people on a charter with me, and I know you're the same way, Travis, you're going to get out of the trip what you want to get out of it.
Right.
We are there to make money. We're also there for you to teach. We're also there to catch fish. If you don't want to catch fish and go for a boat ride, I don't care.
Yeah.
If you want to learn, I love teaching people, but I'm not going to teach someone that don't want to learn.
That's right.
So you get, and you just need to be up front. But if you'd like to get on the water with us, give us a call, and it's 813-373-2610. That's our Premier Guide hotline. You will talk to me. I'll get you out with one of us. We'll get you taken care of. Guys, we'll take a little break. We'll get back, and we'll talk more fishing. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 10 for the team. We'll be right back.
The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
And now it's time for the Come On Man, sponsored by Foy's Tire Service. If you need to get some new tires on your truck, car, or even your boat, just give Foy's Tire Service a call at 813-241-4017.
And welcome back to our third segment of the show. This is the Come On Man segment.
Come on, man.
This is my favorite segment. You know, I had to come up with this. NFL Live, every Monday I watch, and they got the Come On Man. I said, man, I got to do this on air. This is like four years ago. It's the Danny on Madness segment of the show, and he just goes, what? Yeah, Danny don't know what the heck he's... He don't watch TV, I don't think. So we come up with the Come On Man. This is my favorite segment of the show. It's the Come On Man. And if you make the Come On Man, it doesn't say a whole lot. It just says that you did something crazy or dumb this past week. And we're letting everybody know. So if somebody says you made the Come On Man segment, it's not always bad, but it could be bad.
Mostly bad.
So, you know, this week, Travis, and this happens to be somebody else in the business. You know, like we were mentioning earlier, that it's very crowded out there. There's a lot of people around the towers trying to get bait, and you know, we're all out there trying to do the same thing, but there's a little bit of etiquette mixed in. And the one particular marker, we've been getting it by ourselves, and me and you went out there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We whacked the bait. We made it work. Like, nobody screwed anybody up. I said, hey, go ahead and throw. You know, we tried to rodeo it, and then you threw once, whacked it. I actually stuck my trolling motor down,
mm-hmm.
put the rod in anchor mode, and started throwing a little bit of chum out. And I actually had almost too much. I wish I didn't chum, but we made it work. Well, the day before that, we're another marker, and we had a lot of thread fins moving, and there was a lot of white bait on the bottom. And we're reading the machine; they were just hugging on the bottom, but you had the thready. So I decided to get real close to the marker. On the backside, I would throw chum, and the tide was ripping. And I would see the greenies come up,
Mm-hmm.
And on the backside, there wasn't any thread fin, so I was trying to make that throw. But the bait was kind of spooky. Well, there's a certain yellow boat that, tends to roll
bright
up on people and tends to do what he does.
Is it the same color of a banana?
Yes, it is. And you know, he comes up, and I'm like, you know, here we go. So I'm already on the marker, and the bait's spooky. It's not like it's easy, okay? And he throws the net right next to my boat. Literally, like, I'd say a foot from hitting my boat. Hits reverse. Well, I'm on the side of the marker, so when he hits reverse, he's blowing the whole marker out. So I'm chumming. There's a reason why I'm chumming. Mm. Proceeded to do this for about 30 minutes, and I just looked down. I told my customer, I said, the minute he hits my boat, we're going to have some issues. And I had customers on the boat, and he did too, so I just kind of looked at him. And but that's the, come on, man. Just have a little etiquette. He didn't even ask. Didn't say anything when he came up, which we don't talk very much, and that's okay for probably good reasons. But, and, you know, I think stuff would have been said if I didn't have customers on the boat, but I did, and I just said, you know what, you get this certain, when you charter, typically what I've learned on charters is, if us as are in the business, if I have a beef with you, which I wouldn't, just say you were X person and I had,
right,
you know, we didn't get along, whatever, and you did something stupid. I just don't think me yelling at you and getting an argument.
You gotta do anything.
The customers aren't paying for
they're
that.
They're the victim.
So I just, and I had to, you have to tell yourself that, because in the heat of the moment, you really want.
And it takes the hired guy.
It
takes
does.
The hired guy to swallow your pride and go, okay, guys, just sit back. It's going to take us an extra little bit. Because we got a ding dong over here.
Well, my customers actually said something.
And that's
what
happened. They see what's going on.
And I'm like, and these boys are from Polk County, though, so they were like, there's some repeats. And they're like, hey, man, game on.
We'll take care of this guy for you if you want,
game on. I said, nah, look, we're good. We'll get it, you know. And, but hey, you know what does happen? You do make the come on, man, when you do stuff like that.
That's right.
So, hey.
That's right. And he is a come on, man.
Yeah.
It should be on the side. Come on, man.
So, hey, come on, man. Listen, guys, there's a lot of people fishing, and we've mentioned this multiple times. And in March and April, fishing's really good, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to deal with a lot of people in the water.
Yeah.
And people want to label captains. I will tell you right now, I'm a charter captain, you're a charter. We have targets on us.
Oh, yeah.
Because people do stuff to us every day, and we just let it go. And occasionally, we might do something wrong.
Yeah,
and then it's blast the captain. Blast.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we're right or wrong, but and I'm pretty mild tone. I don't say a lot. I do my own thing. And you're actually probably more polite than I am with stuff. I just turn the other way, and you'll try to, you know, be extra nice to somebody. And by the way, you get the nice guy award. Real quick, the nice guy award.
Yeah.
Travis goes to the marker. The guy's got a 6-foot net good bait. And Travis's like, listen, man, let me come up here. The bait's thick. I'll throw. You whack it. And then Travis says, man, I'm going to throw the net. I'm going to give you bait.
Yeah.
In the process, you ripped your
net. And that was my come on line. That's where I was going. And so it's not always negative, guys. And I didn't complain. And it actually, let's flip the odds here. Okay. So Jason's come on man was one side of the come on man. My side is I roll up to a marker. I'm struggling to catch some bait. We network in the morning, so we're always calling each other if we're having an issue or, you know, who's on the bait. And, you know, it's just about white bait. I mean, they're loaded, but you got to find one that's got a lot more white bait than it does thread fins. So, now granted, guys, we get about an hour to do this, okay, and get back to the dock before we're late. So, I had talked to Jason. Jason said, oh, there's some bait here. Let's go there. So, I ran, you know, significant way, got to a marker. There's two boats there. I know there's bait there. So I pull up. I watch a guy, and this is a true story. I watch a guy throw the net the first time, stick it in the marker, it's gone. He just slides the net off, puts the throttle in forward, and he just takes off. He's like, screw it, it's gone. Now, the other guy, there's an older guy. He's in like a hurricane deck boat, bimini top. He's got wife and kids
this
on the boat. The whole nine yards. So I pull up, throw one time, smoke it, come around. He goes up, throws in the same spot, doesn't get a single bait. So I go back around, I throw again, get it again, and I'm done. So he pulls back around, and he throws again, and I'm watching him. I mean, this is an older, I'm not going to say old, because there's no definition.
Not Danny old.
This guy's got to be in his late 60s, okay?
Well,
up on the
Danny
front
old.
Of him, you know? Late 60s, early 70s. He's an older guy. And you can tell that he got these two older ladies sitting in the back, and they are just getting to the point where, now I don't know how long he's been here. So I said, hey, come here, man. So I said, let me roll up here. I said, let me throw the net one time. And I said, I'll get you guys some baits. You can get on fishing. He goes, man, you don't know how good that sounds. You know, and I could just see it. And he's trying to make, you know, he's trying to put a good day together for the people he's got on his boat. So I sat around. I throw the net, get the bait. And I said, come on, man, pull up here. So he pulls up next to the boat. And I was going to hand the net over. I said, you know what, man, I've ripped too many nets. So I said, well, just pull up. Let me jump on your boat. I'll dump the net out in your live well, and I'll hop back on my boat. So I jump on this guy's boat, and he's got coolers and fishing rods and gaffs and you name it all over the deck. Well, I ended up pulling the net in his boat, and I hear my net get hung on something. He goes, well, be careful. Don't hang it. And about that time, I hung the net, and I ripped about a 6-inch hole in the side of my net, and I just kind of swallowed it, and I went, here you go, bud. And I dump the net out, you know, and he goes, oh, my gosh, I've never seen that much bait in my boat, you know. And so he goes, well, what do I owe you? And I said, man, you don't owe me a thing. You know, I said, listen, I said, here's my card. I said, if you guys are ever interested in doing an inshore trip, I said, I'm a local guide. I said, and you know, good luck fishing it. I hope you guys tear them up. And that was kind of, I don't always have time to do that. You don't always have time to do that. But in that particular moment where I came up on them, they were in the process of trying to catch bait. You know, I felt it a rude gesture for me to come up right in front of them, throw the net, get the bait, and just leave. And so I took the extra 10, 15 minutes, got them guys some bait so they could, you know, enjoy a day on the water. And so it's not all bad, guys. We're not out there to run you guys over, push you out of the way. We do have a job to do, though. And we have to put that first, unfortunately. And sometimes that'll put
not
a bad
over,
take.
Not over ethics.
Not over ethics, but in terms of not being able to, you know, say, hey, it's over here, or call you in on fish, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, there are a lot of times, more than not, that I'll help a recreational angler out, especially if their etiquette is in line. In other words, this guy didn't yell at me. This guy didn't say, oh, we're getting bait, you know, or whatever, you know. And he knew exactly what was going on, and we took our turns. And for that, you know, I felt obligated as taking the higher road and saying, here, man, let me help you, because you're not going to get bait here. It's not going to happen, you know. And so to kind of follow up on with the way Jason's story ended up, mine was, come on, man, come over here, let me hook you up, you know.
Mine was like, go on, man.
yeah, go on, man. So with that being said, I'm not saying follow me around in the morning, I'm giving out free bait. But, you know, when the opportunity's there and things are going right and, you know, I've got plenty of time, I definitely don't mind helping anybody out, you know?
Yeah, no, it's
and
all
I think
good.
That goes, I mean, I know that goes for you too, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty quiet. I mean, I got my little network of guides. I'm not somebody that tries to tick anybody off. And I tell you, and I've mentioned this, we got to go to break here, but doing radio with Neo has enlightened me to the other side of the fishing world, and that's kayaking. And I understand it more. And it used to aggravate me a little bit more than what it does now. I get it, but it has nothing to do with kayaks. It has nothing to do with boats. I told Neil this. It has to do with people that are smart and then the idiots. And the idiots will always be idiots, whether they're racing a car, mowing the lawn,
that's
or
right.
fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just don't get it. They don't get ethics. And some of them fish for a living. Some of them do it for fun. And,
yep.
And unfortunately, they're just in the world. We have to deal with them. It has nothing to do with fishing. But I get the kayak side of it. I like it. It's a great sport. It's big on... It's big in our industry now, and in the paddleboards. People are using paddleboards. I love it. I love it. There's some confrontation on the flats with running, you know, when we're running and they're running because of the boat and the small vessel and the whole nine yards. But, you know, we can all get along and make it work.
Absolutely.
So, well, guys, we'll take a little break. We get back. We're going to give you the captain's tip of the week. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 10 for the team. Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you would like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by Powerpole Shallow Water Anchors, swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to powerpole.com. And welcome back to the last segment of the show. Captain Travis Yackel is in the house.
He's here.
Myself, Captain Jason Prieto, is on the mic in the studios in the live well with the bubbler on.
Getting fat.
Neil is probably drinking a cold one, glad to be done with the Mel tournament.
Absolutely.
So, guys, this is our Captain's Tip of the Week, and Travis can give you his. I'm going to go first. Guys, one thing I've done more in the last 2 to 3 years, I've done this 12 years, and I always say the day that I quit learning as a charter captain, as a fisherman, is the day I need to hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, guys, I know some guys fish without trolling motors, and I don't know how they do it. And I've tried it, because trolling motors, I mean, I've got a Rodan, you've got a Rodan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great trolling motor. At the end of the day, any electronic device getting the crap beat out of it every day at the front of the boat is a headache.
Yeah.
And I've even said, man, trolling motors are a headache a few years back, and the more I fish, the more I need it.
Oh,
like, it's
absolutely.
It's that tool that you have to have for me. And my tip of the week, guys, is there's a lot of issues on the South Shore in particular, even in St. Pete. Tower boats are very popular. I have a tower boat. Tower boats are very useful, but you can't catch fish running 40 mile an hour down the flat. You can see fish, and typically you're not going to catch them once you pass them.
Mm-hmm.
If you know how and when to use a tower boat, they work great. But my tip is put your trolling motor in the water.
Yeah.
Get in your tower with the trolling motor with the remote. Get on your front cooler with the trolling motor. Slow down a little bit, and you will find more fish in areas where you haven't fished, and you also find you will pattern them fish a little bit better to understand them. I've become, in the last 2 years, a better red fisherman. I never was I've been a decent red fisherman, and I still don't like redfish. I like catching redfish. I don't like redfish because they're somewhat inconsistent.
I like the challenge. And it's very stressful, very challenging.
I like
fish.
The challenge. I tarpon fish it's for just, 2 months. Trust me. Challenges.
I mean,
I like them. Redfish are very patient, and you can either have a banner day or you could spend some time wasting mm-hmm. a lot of a day. So you have to it really gets in your head, because my theory used to be, well, I can wait and see if these redfish show up, or I can go catch 30 snook.
Mm-hmm.
And
Odds are Captain Jason's going to catch 30 snook.
Yeah, I know the guy. I go with the numbers, bro.
And then calls me and he says, hey, man, them redfish 30?
Yeah.
Them redfish 30
yeah,
showing
hey,
up yet,
know,
bro?
You're only as good as the people around you, so. But, no, and it does help that we do network. But,
absolutely.
I've put my trolling motor down a little bit longer, and I've really looked at areas a little bit better. And what it's done is, first off, it's made my fuel bill go down.
Yeah.
But, no, on a serious note, you basically hone in on an area, and you learn that area to the max.
And you can scout, and I'll kind of add to that, Jay, and I agree with you 100%. You know, we've talked about it a lot, but, you know, fishing the redfish tour and really going to an area and saying you got 2 days to go scout an area that's, say, 20 square miles, it makes it really tough to not use your trolling motor, okay? But after that initial run, say an hour, you go run down, I'm not saying blow a shoreline, but to go run an area, okay, on a plane, down a sandbar, whatever, to find a big school of fish. But after that, you're right, you got to start zoning in. And
you're not always going to find that big school.
No, you won't always find the big school, you're right.
We've been fishing a tiny school.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And so to zone in on an area, you lay the trolling motor down, you go in there. On a plane, you're running, let's say you got a good shallow running skiff or a tower boat that runs in shallow water. You're still running 15 miles an hour, say, and that's tapped down, going real slow, got it all tweaked out, okay? At 15 miles an hour, you run over 10 fish, you might see 6 of them. At, 20 miles an hour, you run over 20 fish, you might see 8 of them.
I always say there's a ratio of fish
you're
not seeing.
And so what I'm saying is when you slow down, that wad of fish that you saw spotty might actually be 10 or 15, 20 fish in a ball that were sitting on the edge of a sandbar, and they heard your motor coming and all split up, and you go, hey, them fish were out there on the bar. No, they weren't. They were actually in that pocket 20 yards up on the inside, and when they heard you coming, they blew off the bar, and that's where you saw them. And so where I'm going with that is you're not going to see an accurate location or pattern or area where those fish like to be running through them. You spooked them out of an area.
Or if you do find a big school, doing donuts to make them hump
up. Chances are you're not going to get them to eat.
Well, you might get them to eat, but you're going to screw their, like you said, the fish do have a pattern.
100%.
And there's certain areas on the South Shore that there's a school of fish that if you find them, they eat anything. And the problem is trying to figure out what they do.
They get pushed.
They get pushed around too much from boats running over them. And you know, me and Danny argue this, you know, and I think he's somewhat, we're both right. And, you know, Danny says, there's too many boats running up down the South Shore compared to St. Pete. And I said, Danny, I have to disagree with you, but I agree with you. I think there's too many boats and it's breaking up the schools. I also think Fort DeSoto and Sarasota, because of the geography of where it is, just have more redfish schooled up, bigger and more. The Gulf's right there.
I believe in the Gulf. Yeah. I go with the Gulf theory on that,
too.
Oh,
yeah. The Gulf theory is true. The fish are bigger over there in general.
You're going to have
bigger schools.
Fish. Yeah.
But I will tell you that Fort DeSoto, and I think most guys that fish over there all the time will agree with me, they don't have the schools of reds consistently like they used to. And I think them fish are getting broken up from boats just running over them.
I agree.
And
I
towers.
Agree. In fact, you know, when it comes into fall, there's one thing that always shows up on my boat, and a lot of people kind of laugh at me, but I've got a 12-foot wooden stick that I put on my boat when I start fishing schools of redfish. And people think I'm crazy, but I'll pole a 22-foot bay boat up to a school of redfish and put you on a clinic. Turn that trolling motor on one time, and that will not happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well,
if you're trolling motor.
I've been on a school, and
you know,
my trolling motor has literally spooked them.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just certain things, Once you dial that in and you figure out where that school of fish is and you know how to approach a school or you know how to approach an area where you know fish are at, being quiet, stealthy is particular. Now, I'm not saying all the time, because there's guys that say, well, I blow right up in there and
yeah,
I lay it down
on how
and I catch them. You know?
Depends how hungry the fish are and the mood they're in.
Right. And here my thing is I'm going to do everything to make them fish that I know they won't leave. So I'm going to turn off, I'm going to lay down way outside of where I'm going to fish. I'm either going to troll a motor or I'm going to push pole into the area where I know those fish are going to be at, and you'll find yourself more successful catching more fish and having a better bite by not running right up to an area or even to scout. It's the same thing. If I'm going to fish or if I'm going to scout, chances are I do it the same way. You've seen me plenty of times after a trip or before a trip or on a day off, where I will spend a half a day in my tower on the trolling motor, going around some islands, you know, going up and down a sandbar, and I'll find more fish doing it that way. And people say, oh, I ran up and down there 4 times, I didn't see nothing. Well, that's why you didn't see anything.
In a tower, you know? You got to see that money school.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't always got the money school. Sometimes there's 5-10 fish.
Yep.
But.
Yep.
If you catch 10, that's a good day.
That's where I was going with it. You know, it's a ratio thing. You blow up on them, you might catch one or two. But I'm telling you right now, that, you know, fish feed on vibration. Fish feed, they move, that's their sensory organ generally is by vibration and smell. There's not a whole lot of fish that feed or move on sight, especially during the summertime. I mean, that's why they use those low sun hours to move and navigate and move around. Once the sun gets up and there's water in the bushes and it's a crystal clear sky, chances are every dangum fish is under the bushes. They don't have eyelids. They can't close their eyes to see.
That is hot.
So vibration and smell, to me, and I'm no marine biologist, but I do know that I've been on a school of redfish and literally tapped the side of the boat and had the whole school lift up in front of me over just a small vibration. They didn't see the boat. They felt the boat.
I've seen bait do that,
and,
too.
And, you know, so that can go into the whole thing about their lateral line and how they feel, and it's something that I educate people on all the time. You know, I mean, Jason gets me all the time, but I got some loud hatches.
We're going to do Travis's tech tip on the
show. Yeah, I've got pretty loud hatches on my boat, you know, and it's always
very loud.
It's kind of it is kind of a burden sometimes, and I always try to say, hey, man, don't slam the hatch, you know.
Your hatches
are very loud. And they're pretty loud. I need to put some shocks on them. But with that being said, you know, it makes a difference, man, when you're a little bit quiet. Now, once you get a bite going and you get some activity going
once you
and
get
fish
that, yeah, once
start
you get
going, it's kind of a different ball game. But to get that initial approach, to get in there, settle in, and sneak up on a school of fish, A, scouting, B, fishing, definitely put a trolling motor in. You're going to see better results. And like Jason said, we're both running the Rodans. Super, super impressed with that trolling motor. From inshore to offshore snapper fishing, grouper fishing over rocks.
Dude, I use that trolling motor.
It's hands down one of the best pieces of equipment on my boat. And second to that, talk about value. And value is, you know, yeah, they're all expensive, no matter which one you get. But let me tell you what, if you're fishing in the south, you know, south, southwest region, central region of Florida, the manufacturer is a short drive away, and the customer support and tech is like off the chart, you know. Call the guys over there if you got any questions, any issues. They can generally have you a part turned around the next day or two, and you can actually talk to somebody on the phone that knows what they're doing. You don't go to a sales service center or any of that kind of stuff. They're right there, good old boys, and they make a great product. So if you're in the market for trolling motor, definitely check those guys out, man.
Well, I tell you, I use mine so much that the marker's getting bait, you know.
Yeah.
The anchor mode on it is
There's
great.
So many different uses. You start thinking about it, you go, man, I used it for that.
I use it more. Well, I got more of an advantage on my boat because I'm running a 72-inch shaft, so
yep.
It doesn't jump out of the water like yours does.
Mm-hmm.
So and they've actually made an 80, and they're going to, I'm supposed to be testing their new 36 that they're working the bugs out, but they got a whole new, from head to toe, they went through 8 years of pro staff guys like us running them and breaking them and saying, fix this, do that, do this. They're coming out with a whole new unit from head to toe. I'll be supposed to be testing it soon. But guys, it's been a great show. Don't forget, if you'd like to get on the water and do some fishing with us, we're on School of the Reds. We got tarpon coming in. We've got snook, and Neil's been on a good bite in the kayaks. Give us a call on our Premier Guides number, and that number is 813-373-2610. These shows are also podcast. You can catch them on facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio, or you can download the Podomatic app on your phone, get it on your computer, and we'll have the show from last week, which will be Captain Jeff Page as our guest, and Travis Yackel and myself
in
the studios.
Great red fisherman, and if you guys haven't ever followed Jeff, I mean, he's a very accomplished tournament red fisherman and one of the best guys down in Sarasota area.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and it was a great show. And you can catch it on podcast. Actually, it'll be up at... it's up right now. Check it on Facebook. Don't forget to go to our website, catmel.com, the official website of the radio show. We'll also have the podcast in the forum. You guys go out there, catch fish. Remember, do fishing, not riding around.
Yeah.
Can't catch fish going 40 mile an hour.
And respect everybody, guys.
All right, guys. Tight lines. We'll see you next week.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.